This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We listen to Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun. Army Hammer Cannibal.
Consider the source.
Hey.
God, consider the source.
I love to beat
everything.
Any of that noodle thing left?
Consider the source.
I'm a fan of my mom.
Consider the source.
Somebody stop me
from sinning. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to stop you from sinning. You, the listener, whatever you're doing, we're here to prevent it because we're your friends and we love you. The parasocial relationship is real.
He was masking our sins from God. God
and honestly, what is more smoking than the resurrection? We're here to have some good Christian fun. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, Christian music, movies, and entertainment of all kinds, of all sorts. Mm. Mostly music, probably, though, if we're being honest. It's a little easier.
We're not going to lie to you. It's mostly music.
It's This is a different kind of M&M. It's mostly music. It's easier to digest. It's an easier ask of the guest than, hey.
Remember when we were going to do books and then we're like, not only will our guests not read a book, you and I won't read a whole book ever.
No, I think if we split up the chapters, I could read the first half of the chapters and you can read
every other chapter.
Yeah, we read every other chapter and then we put our minds together as we do.
Catch it all together. That'd be cool.
But listen, we're not here to make fun of you. No. We're not here to make you go to church. You shouldn't be. Well, I guess you, depending on where you are, you could safely go to church
depending
now.
On your vaccination maybe. Situation. Maybe you're in there.
The vaccination situation is dependent on your church attendance or vice versa. But yeah. Hey, I've attended church during the pandemic one time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it worth risking your life and limb?
No, not really.
Can you what church service would be really worth your life?
If it was a resurrection service where they literally resurrected Carman and he came back, I'd be like, I was there for that and I could have bread for the rest of my life.
That's fair.
For the rest of his life. But I did bring Dexter, my little sweet dog Dexter, to church that time. And you know what? He did a pretty good job. He was not a nuisance. He was sweet to people. He was sweet to the children.
If he did any barking, it would have been barking at Satan.
He did do a little bit of barking, and it was when everyone was like applauding and whooping. So I feel like he was that was
he was just chiming in.
Yeah, against the dark forces that oppress us.
Oh, sweetie. To our guest, Dexter is Kevin's son.
I said my dog. I said my sweet little dog.
Damn, okay.
Who is a son?
I mean, catch.
Listen, we're here to talk about Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. Caroline has alluded to our guests. I think maybe it's time to get her in the mix, friends and folks. Oh my God. You may know her from her podcasts, Even the Rich or In God We Lust. Give it the hell up for Arisha
Skidmore. Williams.
Oh my gosh.
Hey.
That was a hell of a welcome. Hey. Wow.
Yeah, we try to do it. We try to make you feel like you're in heaven by giving you a hell of a welcome. By the way, Caroline, if we start a spin-off podcast where we like do narratives about sexual scandals in the Christian church, do you think we should call it In God We Bust?
Oh my gosh.
Kevin, I'm so sorry. I have just one adjustment.
Okay.
In bod we bust.
In bod we bust. Okay.
Yeah.
In hog we bust.
Oh my God.
gracious. Sorry, Risha. Wow. This is the show you're on today.
Yeah. Oh, I'm loving this. This is, I just can't believe I didn't think of that.
This is the podcast.
Man. I mean, it's not too late. We'll give you that for free if you want to talk to Wondery. Yeah. And we only need 25% royalty credit on, you know, revenue split or whatever the deal is. Yeah. It's easy.
I'll let them know. Totally.
Yeah. Are you familiar with packaging? Caroline and I are easily packaged as far as rights go and revenue streams go. So it should be an easy sell. But hey, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. What a fun time.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I'm a little scared. Are people normally scared when they come on
of
this
which part
podcast?
Of the show?
I'd say actually a lot of people are scared.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
Yeah, it's not uncommon. You know, this is one of those meet cutes where we did just speak for the first time right before recording. And you know, sometimes that gives the podcast a special fire when you get into it, where it's like it's like the high of meeting a new person you're gonna get along with at a party, where it's like, oh, we have something in common,
oh
we have something to talk about.
Well, because I listened to Arisha, your show, so much, I kind of feel like weirdly like I brought my friend to the party, but then I realized that my friend also doesn't know me.
That's most of my friends, so I get it.
Yes. But don't be afraid, by the way. You'll be fine. And once you get on that bicycle of talking about yourself, you won't want to get off, honestly. And it'll be very comfortable, we promise.
All right. Just be gentle.
You got
first
this.
Time.
Yeah.
As Jesus said, you know, himself one time famously, there is nothing to fear but Satan and demons, which are real.
Yes, and I remember that quote.
Yes.
Yeah. Man, that's one of the Beatitudes. That was my favorite one. But we'd love to know about your history with religion and faith. You do a podcast called In God We Lust, which talks about people of religious backgrounds and in prominent positions of religious power in the country. Yeah. But what is your own personal history with it?
I used to call myself a closet Christian, and that was just because, I mean, I don't come from a like overly religious family, but I come from a family where we went to church every Sunday. I know like the Lord's Prayer. I know I'm Episcopalian. I don't know if we're supposed to even share that, but I'm I consider us like the most liberal version of Christianity. Even though my parents' church now, I guess, like when we first moved to Maryland, so I'm originally from Chicago. When we first moved to Maryland, there was a scandal about whether or not we would bless gay marriages.
At your church?
Yeah, at our church. So like at the end of service, we would have birthday blessings for the week as well as anniversary blessings. And we weren't blessing same-sex couples. Marriage wasn't legal at the time.
Oh, wow.
I'm dating myself way back. And I was a kid then, so I didn't really know what was going on, but I come from very liberal parents, thank goodness, who don't give a, can we say bad words on this podcast?
Just rip them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit about, you know, who you are.
Whoa,
what you
whoa,
do.
Whoa, whoa. That's not the bad word I thought you were going to say.
I thought you were going to say.
I thought you were going to say hoot.
Dookie.
Or crap.
Yeah.
I mean, man, I guess we could air this on FX on TV.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, this is clearly going to be premium cable. But yeah, so anyway, so there was a thing where the priests we had, it was a husband wife team. They were like, we're going to bless whoever, we don't care. But church is in a conservative town, and people left our church over that. They were like, that's it, I'm out. And that boggled my mind. I was like, really?
Yeah, like
so many other reasons to leave church.
It is wild the things that people will deprive themselves of on the basis of principle. And the sense of like, I mean, you can see that now in cultural boycotts of things that are necessities are widely used. Including your church in that instance.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so I've gone to church basically my whole life. I was in youth group, used to go to camp every summer in North Carolina. It was called Canoga, Camp Canoga.
Oh, I bet that was
camp
fun.
Canoga in North Carolina. Yeah. Now tell us.
I loved it.
Tell us the flavor of this camp. Yeah. Like what the vibe
was.
If there were horny undertones to this camp in particular.
Is there a camp where there aren't? I mean, I feel like I love.
I've heard of some camps that there are. I would imagine like a staff retreat. That's not the case.
Fair enough.
Actually, it depends.
I feel like
on
they
the
weren't
staff.
Horny in name only, but like in, right. otherwise in vibe, they remained horny. Right.
This camp. So we had summer camp, and then there was a winter camp for the high schoolers called Winterlight.
Mm.
And I have always been very boy crazy, so I loved camp because I was like, this is my time to shine.
It's a smorgasbord.
Yeah, it truly is. They're all, I mean, you know, you have all the activities, and I feel like it wasn't heavily centered around religion. Like, we had services, but then we also, like, I don't know, we got to play and run around, and it sounds so boring. Playing and running around doesn't seem very specific. But yeah. I loved it. I had so much fun.
So for you, it sounded like it was a camp plus like church sometimes, whereas yes. I think like most camps I went to was like church with camp squeezed in between, like
yep.
on
yep.
some sessions, you know.
Mm-hmm. Was yeah. there a super serious yeah. night that would happen near the end of the week where it's like, guys, we've played enough like racquetball and now we're here to do some business now.
Let's zip yeah. line into heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the where you just. I don't know. I don't remember what the word was for it, but it was basically like unburdening, like, oh, here are all the ways I've sinned. And like, it was just a really kind of like a somber type tone to it. And then there was a dance.
So it's like, wait, what? What's this now? There was a dance?
Yourself. Yeah. And then there was like the end of the week dance. So it's like you cleanse yourself. And like, I remember one time we had to hear this girl and her brothers shared this traumatic story, and their story was that their parents divorced. And I remember thinking, this is your trauma? Like, this happens to everybody, which I, not to speak lightly, I just clearly had more trauma in my life and I didn't think that was a big deal. But the way yeah. they were talking, it seemed like I was expecting like somebody had died or, I don't know, gone off to war and never come back. But wow. they were just like, yeah. And they were all like, as a kid, I thought they were in their 30s, and now I feel like that's offensive as somebody who's in her 30s now. So I don't know how old they actually were, but I thought that they were really old.
I know
and
what
I was
you
like,
mean. Yeah.
You're so affected by this. I feel like it's like you're not even like six. Like, you're an adult. This can't affect
oh,
you.
Yes. This was not a fellow camper sharing this. This was one of the counselors.
No, these were all counselors. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which, anyway, but then we got to dance and leave space for the Holy Spirit, which some of us didn't do.
Okay.
And your Holy Spirit was skinny.
And the boy, yes. yeah. Holy Spirit was a skinny bitch. Good Lord.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Did those have like a big effect on like your feelings of spirituality, or was it like you said, it was boy time and just for fun kind of thing?
Yeah, it was. I had a really, I don't know. I was one of those people that desperately wanted to fit in. And I always looked different. I'm biracial, and we've always lived in predominantly white upper middle class communities. And so my peers, I just remember one of my friends, Katie Lockhart, who I just think is such a gem. She was at camp one year, and I remember she had all of these like products in the bathroom. And I was like, this is who I want to be. Like, I want to have all these products. And I like have like curly, thick hair. And didn't know anything about what to do with my hair. And so I just remember, like, it was just a way for me to, like, not feel so different from everybody else. Because it's like, sure, I didn't have all these products, but I was like, these are all my friends. And we're going to go eat together at the diner. And very little Jesus factored into this. But I like to think it was, like, the nature side of, like, just, like, spirituality and, like, existing together and feeling connected in that way.
That sounded like a nice time. Okay. It doesn't sound like your trauma was camp, though, in that sense, thankfully.
It wasn't. No. I feel like, I don't know. So yeah, I went to camp and I did all of this stuff because, you know, your parents are like, wake up, go to church on Sundays with us. And I, like, tried to keep it going in college, but I never went to church in college because... Mm-hmm. After Saturday night,
who's got time?
The bars are closing at 2 a.m. I'm not gonna roll over to the church. Yeah.
Anyone who goes to church on a consistent basis in freshman year of college is a cop, technically. That is true.
All right, well, I would just like to back the boys in blue right now. I did go to church very often as a freshman, and I didn't have a car, so I'd have to get a ride with someone, so I'd have to get up even earlier because everyone went to the 9 a.m. service for some reason, and I still don't know why.
The 9 a.m. service was often hotter, I think, is why.
It was the place to be.
Actually why.
The hot people. I just never understood that. It was like, we're all not sleeping, so I don't know why we're doing this. Like, I would try to go to the noon service, and I would have no friends there. Like, it was just crickets. Yeah. It was terrible.
Oh, man. Don't you wish I was there and we could have become pals even then at that time?
I know. Mm. I know. You were there at the church all that time.
I was, wasn't I? Well, oh, pretty yes. Much, oh, yeah. Okay. It was that church. Oh, yeah.
Arish, just for background, Kevin and I met at the same church.
Oh.
But I guess we were both going there for probably like 3 or 4 years without knowing each
before
other.
Meeting each other. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So then it was a bigger church, I'm assuming, not
huge.
My church.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, everyone.
No, it was a small neighborhood church. Yeah. Kevin was the pastor's son. I just didn't,
it was a couple
didn't
thousand.
Care to notice.
What was the size of your church that you were going to?
It's pretty, I feel like it's probably medium size. I feel like ultimately there's maybe, I don't know, 400 families, but on any given Sunday, it's like, I don't know, 80 people, 100 people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cozy. That's like ideal.
Yeah.
What,
yeah.
80 people? I agree. Yeah. As someone who started going a little bit to an 80-person church. Well, 81. 80 people and then plus one furry
plus
little.
Plus one dog.
Yeah, furry little guy. Oh.
I think that's a half member.
Half member. Oh, no. There's a dog clause. He's one half of a member.
Oh, no.
So did church attendance, it sounded like it might have tapered off a little bit in college.
Mm, definitely. Yeah.
And then where were you like in your head faith-wise with what you thought about your world or just your general POV on God?
So it's shifted. For a very long time, I believed everything they were telling me. And it wasn't until, so my all-time favorite service is Maundy Thursday. I just love a very somber service.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one, like the Thursday before Easter Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't
right
a big
before
thing
Good Friday.
I'm sorry, yeah. it's called Maundy?
Maundy,
M-A-U-N-D-Y.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my favorite service. I love it.
It's
wait, why do you like it so much?
What's it supposed to signify?
Maundy service?
Yeah, I want to know.
So it's the service where the feet washing, and this is not why I like it. I'm not a weird... No, whatever. Everyone likes what they like.
She's not a Glint Close type on Instagram.
It's not a fetish thing.
Yeah. It's just that you like being pampered. It's a spa experience.
Yeah, yeah. I like it because there's a song we always sing, and it's called... Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And I just, and it's like, sometimes, I don't know if you've heard it. It's just, it's
were
a very,
that one?
Yes. Yep. And it's just like in my soul, I feel it. And also at the end of the service, they do the flipping of the altar to like all black for Good Friday. Mm. Black Friday, Good Friday. I always mix them up.
Black Friday.
Where
people bum rush the chapel to get the best deals on salvation.
We got
to
put this altar in mourning for your dollars.
Exactly. But I just love it. I love this. Like, we sing, but then at the very end, we all leave in silence. And also, that means nobody's going to talk to my parents for a really long time, so I get to go home right after. Because that's the other thing. Hey. My parents are always super social.
Yeah. Caroline, do you remember this feeling?
Silently. Wow.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, do you remember this feeling of when your parents were hobnobbing with other parents at the church and you just wanted to go home and you're looking up at them. You're 7, maybe 8 years old. You don't have a car. You're being held prisoner by your parents in this moment.
I have no friends here, only enemies. And I am just like roaming the church grounds, raiding, like probably playing in... like wood chips waiting for my parents to be done.
What else do you have to play with but wood chips?
That's all I got going on. I'm starving. Yeah, yeah. It's painful.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But yeah, so I don't even know how I got on that, but I was believing everything, and then it was basically the Lent, like the season of Lent, and particularly the week between Palm Sunday and Easter. I just started to get suspicious about it because I don't like the reading, and I was very active in church. So I was always a lector or chalice, or I was in choir. Like I did everything. I was an acolyte. And so always very active. And the readings for this time, there was a lot of times, like especially with the gospel readings, where they would be like, And they said it was going to happen, and so it did happen. And I was like, you're setting yourself up. That's like me being like, I'm going to walk out to the kitchen today. I just walked out to the kitchen. Told you. And it's like, well,
I'm a prophet.
Yeah. And I was always like, this seems very suspicious. So
to be writing the history after it already happened and then said that was a prophecy. It feels a little bit.
So I'm skewed more spiritually at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get me wrong, when I like hydroplane on the road, I very much believe in God.
Jesus take the wheel.
Like, help.
Yes, but for the listener at home, it's only when Arisha hydroplanes. Any other like life-threatening situation, like a bumpy plane or an earthquake, or if she finds herself in California, like it's not that.
She
it's
does
just
pray, but she just says, hydroplane. Stick to your principles. Stick to your principles.
She prays to nothing. Wonderful nothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So spiritual, what does that mean for you now?
That's a really good question. Because I don't really know what it means. I think it's changing all the time. So my dad still is very much involved in the church, and he's like on the path to becoming a deacon. And my mom isn't, but she is when it's convenient, which is, I guess, kind of like me. They sold their house at the end of last year, and it wasn't selling. And she went in, she like had like a figurine. I don't know if it was Saint, whatever saint it was. And she's like, this helps with selling
Saint Vincent.
Houses. And I was
Saint Bernard.
Saint Vincent?
Yeah, Saint Wait. Elmo.
Damn it. I was like, oh, that's it. Okay.
It could have been. I mean, it could have actually been
Saint
Vincent.
I would have bought it. Yeah. I have no idea. But she's like, I'm going to bury this in the backyard. It'll help us sell the house. And I was like, well, we're not Catholic. She's like, no, but we're desperate. So it's like, well, okay, that's the kind of religion that I have, where it's like when I really need it.
The first church of desperation.
I do it.
Yeah, in case of
that's
emergency.
Like a perfect sitcom joke.
Yeah, that was a...
We're not Catholic, but we are desperate.
Pretty like, tidy exchange between you and your very likable mom.
she keeps me on my toes. But yeah, so I don't know. I feel like... I don't believe that there's not anything there. I just don't know. My thing has been all the religions are the same. They're just in different languages. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I am, where it's like we're believing the same thing. Some of us are getting lost in translation with how we're interpreting it.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I am.
It makes sense to me, yeah. And I think, like, for everybody, spirituality is kind of vague and changes from day to day or mood to mood. But being... having something there when you need it really badly, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think there's something beautiful in that, too. Like, in a crisis.
Yeah, a little box next to your bed that says, in case of emergency, praise God.
Praise God.
I feel like I've seen that pillow before.
What?
I feel like I've seen that pillow before.
Oh, no. Wait, did I say something that's already on a pillow?
Oh, no. It's already been a Hobby Lobby for years.
Am I going to search this on Etsy and find like 12 different kind of like
100%
dumpy wall art graphics of that?
I'm going to look that up actually while we're talking here.
Oh, my Lord. Do you guys feel like you have friends like that in the way that Arisha's describing a connection to like a higher power or what you might call God? A friend where it's like, I don't know if I need this relationship in my life, but I certainly lean on it in certain times.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I definitely have friends like that.
Caroline,
don't
say me. If that's what you're thinking.
It's like only when we're recording do I need
you
as a friend.
The way you described that sounded bad, but I want to understand it. So maybe rephrase like the question.
It sounded bad? Like I did a bad job explaining.
Like, do you have
it?
People that you just use when you need in your life?
I mean,
that's how I interpreted
you don't
it.
Like?
It might be like, the case, but that's what I'm saying, right? Like, because that's how we. It's and I know it's like hack. It's like new evangelical hack to say it's a relationship. It's not religion, but there is analog to the idea that like, of course, we're gonna filter whatever our relationship is with spiritual power through our experience with like actual tangible relationship with other people. So maybe, I'm not even saying, and I'm not saying name names and say like, yeah, Jessica's kind of like that. I don't need her, but sometimes I do. But I think that might be an interesting singular way in which God is not like a personal relationship, right? Because you are experiencing it in a way that doesn't map cleanly on to how you would treat a person, which is why I kind of bristle at that relational stuff, right? Because it's like, well, no, there's like a ceiling for how
how
resonant that can be. Yeah.
Right. Like any definition of earth that we have of a relationship, like doesn't apply to a being that you literally can't see or talk to at all, you know, or like have to just sort of divine that.
Right. Maybe it's like a landlord where it's like my water coming out of my sink is brown. Can you maybe do something? Maybe he shows up. Maybe he does.
Yeah.
In the quick of
the
night.
But we never reach out to the landlord when, you know,
when things are going good.
Working fine. Is like, thank you so much.
Yeah. I love this carpet.
Yeah.
Awesome. We never reach out to our landlord to say nice things about our apartment.
No, we don't.
Hey, my fridge, it worked again today. Thank you,
landlord.
That's
why they're charging us so high. Their feelings are hurt. We don't recognize the effort.
It's too damn high.
Yeah.
That's on us.
Well, Arisha, thanks so much for sharing your background and your story with us. Thank you. It was really lovely to hear.
Hope that wasn't too scary.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Which part? Yeah. Was there anything spooky? Is there anything you need to revise? Maybe make another take. Take
that. No. Thank God. Okay, thank God.
Yeah. We got it. Wow.
Hey, you're Christian again. Okay. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with the new movie coming out.
You get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that can kind of propel me into
to feel as incredible as you could feel.
To exercise more, to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree.
The
first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into our topic. But before we get to that topic, singles ministry, which is, of course, the format in which we take one song, we talk about it, deconstruct it, talk about our experiences with it. I want to talk about your podcast, In God We Lust. You are in the, as this episode comes out, you are in the middle of a run of this mini series, and I want to ask you how you got interested in this particularly provocative topic, talking about the Falwell dynasty and how all that came about.
So actually Wondery approached us, Brooke, my co-host, and myself, and they wanted to do a mini series because our main show, Even the Rich, was it's doing great, and the idea of a mini series is that it very much is kind of happening in real time, and the format is a little bit different. Like, so Even the Rich, we, you know, we pick a family and we kind of dissect from a certain angle of that family. And this story, In God We Lust, is about the Falwells. And the angle we're taking is kind of the scandal of the cuckolding that happened between Gary Falwell Jr.
There's no getting around it, folks.
Nope, you gotta say it.
Yeah, I mean, this is the technically, journalistically integrity way.
Yep.
Saying vocabulary.
Yep. And I learned recently, not through this podcast, or maybe somebody sent me something on Instagram, but that it's actually super common in this demographic of straight Christian men to be interested in this, and just very much, and as it, because it's something that's so, and this is something that I've been told secondhand, so it could be completely false. Mm-hmm. But the idea,
allegedly,
that,
sources say.
Allegedly, yes. Thank you. I should be saying that by now.
Consider the source. Oh, yeah. As per usual.
But just that it's something, because it's so different from the life that they preach or are told to live. But yeah, so we're exploring just how this is all unfolding, how all of this unfolded, with Giancarlo Granda, who was called the pool boy. He hates that name. But he was at one point brought in to have sex with Jerry Falwell Jr.'s wife, Becky, while Jerry watched.
Falwell Jr., for any listeners that may not be aware, is one of the evangelical leaders in the country. Particularly the religious right, the son of Jerry Falwell Sr., former president of Liberty University, one of the most prominent Christian colleges in the nation.
Yeah, he started it.
Falwell Jr. have like some sort of seat or some sort of advisor role to Trump as well? Like, I feel like they crossed paths at one point and I couldn't remember.
Yes, they did. Actually, it's funny. We're getting, I think it's, I don't know if it's next episode or the episode after, but there is a connection between Falwell and Trump, to the point where there was a lot of pushback on the campus when Falwell kind of brought, like, Trump would come to the campus and do, I don't know, give speeches or whatever. And some evangelicals were like, what the hell? What the heck? What is this guy coming here for? He very much does not lead the life that we are preaching about and what we want to be living. But yeah, so
to which I'm like, have you heard of Liberty University? And no. Like, what they're
this
like?
Goes against nothing we
None
stand
of
for.
Our values.
But what's so crazy is that I think the week our first episode dropped, Liberty University announced a lawsuit against the Falwells,
which is so crazy. Like, that is so,
to the point where I'm
the
like,
twist. Yeah,
what's going on here? This is, the timing is just insane.
God thing
for your
question
podcast?
Mark? Or is Wondery more powerful than we think as a network?
I mean, well, we are now owned by Amazon, so we're under the overlord.
So the answer is yes.
Bezos, so.
Yeah, it all filters down.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, who's to say?
I love the idea of Bezos just waking up and sending a quick email like, hey, make sure Even the Rich is pro Falwell. Yeah.
He's like, we got it. This story, we're going to blow it wide open.
Thank you, Daddy Bezos.
He's working on it. Oh my gosh. Did you know about the Falwells before you started researching them for the show?
only from headlines. Mm-hmm. So I'm the kind of person that I'll be like, oh yeah, I've read this great article, but really all I did was read the headline, which is terrible. So I didn't know really anything about it. I knew about Liberty University. So I'm currently in Maryland, which is just, as everyone knows, just above Virginia. Mm-hmm. But not that close to Lynchburg. But I knew about like Liberty University and that it wasn't a school I would ever want to go to. And I knew a little bit about Jerry Falwell Sr. But just as somebody, I mean,
number one Teletubby warrior in chief.
Yep. That's the guy. But I mean, just somebody that it's like I would not vibe with at all, him and the moral majority and all that stuff. So,
right.
But that's, I didn't know anything really about this story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been quite a fun ride.
It's very shocking. Yeah. And fun and just satisfying on a lot of levels, I'd say.
Yes.
Maybe kind of cathartic and some semblance of not justice, but chickens coming home to roost. I did want to go back to the point that you made about the particular demo of men into that particular act. And posit a theory, which is that, you know, when it comes to Mother Mary and Joseph, Joseph might have been the ultimate cuck in terms of the birth of Christ. So maybe for Christian men, it's like, well, that's what I know. And so that's the model, what I want.
The kind of behavior.
That's my model.
And it was God who did the cucking of Joseph, technically. And I know that's graphic to say.
So God's the pool boy in this.
So God is the pool
who
boy.
Who would have thought?
So who are we to judge our pool boy now?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was actually probably doing the most Christ-like thing.
This is the beginnings of a cult where we worship pool boys and pool workers across the country.
And cuckolding in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sex cult, but just like a little bit different.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes it's tough with progressive values where it's like, I think, am I pro cuck? I don't know. I need someone to DM me and be mad about
it. Just do what they want.
One way or the other.
Oh my God. Man, that theory is interesting. I feel like my other theory would be that for people like Jerry Falwell also who are like obvious hypocrites, he's obviously watching a lot of porn probably before he even ever got with his sweet Becky. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. There's just something for me there of like watching is better than doing it yourself.
Yeah.
That I imagine a little bit and like all that private, secret, sexy stuff, you know?
Yeah. My thing is like, I relish so much when people who tell other people how to live and don't, it's one thing to tell somebody how to live and be living that way yourself. Still problematic. Don't like, just mind your own business. Mm-hmm. But to tell somebody how to live, be doing basically the exact opposite, that the joy I get from watching that somebody fall from that is definitely not what God would want, but I'm sorry. I enjoy it.
It's amazing.
But it's I think that's why it particularly like I know it's different in terms of the actual literal crimes, but like the Cosby stuff where he's going around and espousing a particular worldview of family values and young black men need to pull their pants up and respectability politics, exactly.
Yeah.
And it turns out, the worst guy.
Yep.
Like his pants sag. It's like, he's like a serial assaulter person.
Yeah.
So brazen. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I'm amazed by as well is like you said, to espouse so hard a like difficult boundary for everyone and to be so cosmically fucking it up in your life. Like no one will ever find out. It's amazing to me.
Yeah. One of the things we talked about in the podcast is how at least at one point at Liberty University, like they had a very strict like dress code. And then Becky's walking around violating the dress code. And I'm like, first of all, and of course it's about what women are wearing, which is problematic in and of itself. But it's like, how dare you? Like, let them dress however they want to dress. Who cares? Why are we so, it's like, stop being so focused on how other people are living their lives. Let them live it. And you focus on how you're going to live your life. And then we'll all be fine. Anyway,
that sounds great, Arisha, but that's actually not biblical. So, Kevin, we're just going to have to go ahead and scrap that from the record.
Caroline, I'm going down the list of like super fervent beliefs we've espoused on this podcast. And if we were ever found out to be hypocrites, what the equivalent would be. Like if someone
probably
found
be it, me, like, don't follow me on Twitter for like 2 weeks.
Or if someone finds out I've never seen a Muppet movie.
Yeah.
It's like, what the? I feel betrayed.
You actually don't bake any of the things you make.
That, okay.
All
that store bought.
That would be amazing. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, the podcast is In God We Lust. It's a terrific, it's a very breezy, very fun, and often funny listen, and people should check it out. It's well-researched and concise, so it's the opposite of good Christian fun. If you're looking for something in the ballpark, but
a little tighter.
A little better. Yeah. But yes, as was aforementioned, it is, of course, time for Singles Ministry.
It's Singles Ministry.
Singles Ministry, we take one song, we talk about it, deconstruct it, talk about our memories associated with it. And beyond the, maybe the soundboard went a little too long. Beyond the song that we're talking about today, Arisha, I wanted to ask you generally about your exposure to Christian pop culture, your relationship with it. Because sometimes people are raised in the church and that's kind of their whole media diet, is their parents only let them listen to the Christian movies or the video series or what have you. What was it like for you in your family growing up?
I guess we definitely watched Christian... I mean, it wasn't exclusively Christian stuff. Like, we watched VeggieTales. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry, you're looking at the number one Larry fan right here, so...
Yeah. Caroline's been late to many of our recording sessions because she's busy editing together fan cams of Larry.
Oh, the cucumber. Oh my gosh.
And you said Larry Boy heard of him. Caroline was getting hot and horny for
Yeah. Actually, my batteries died. You know, it was
you had to leave the room to We did just add that Caroline had to cool herself down at the very mention. Well, the other thing that is worth mentioning is that the voice of Larry, is it Phil Naraki? Is that his name? I believe it is.
Wait, it's Mike Naraki and Phil Vischer. Phil is
Mike Naraki. Yeah.
Wow.
And he's a bit of a snack. He's a bit of a snack bar.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and his daughter is on TikTok and is posting videos of him doing the Larry voice.
Oh my gosh.
And you can tell he's like soaking it up. Mm-hmm. Like he's enjoying his moment.
Caroline, it's a shot of Caroline's phone in her hand just slipping out, absolutely covered in sweat.
He's on my lock screen.
Yeah, not Larry, the dad.
Oh my god.
So you watch VeggieTales. With music stuff, what did you listen to Christian music recreationally at all, or was it just the stuff that you encountered at church?
It was primarily stuff I encountered in church. They would sell CDs at Canuga, and I always bought one, you know, just to kind of keep the camp memory alive for a couple more weeks. And play that. But so it was mostly, just at church. Although, so we didn't have a church that had like a praise band. I feel like there's like church, like organ type church music versus praise band type church music. And, my church tried very hard to kind of marry the two, and kind of the same people that were like, you can't bless gay marriages, were also like, we're not going to have a drum in here with music. So
we love our dusty old
What's
hymns.
Gayer than rhythm?
We're straight. We don't like drums.
Yeah, exactly.
So Lord, I lift
tragically missed out on a lot of CCM.
Oh my god.
Like,
well, thankfully there's a whole back catalog of a certain podcast that Arisha can listen to kind of get her lay of the land as far as contemporary Christian music goes. And it's called Dirty Rotten Church Kids. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'll do a better job.
The song is Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. It's a song written in 1981 by a guy named Rick Founds. We're going to come back to Rick a little bit later, but let's just take a little listen to, you know, we truly only need 20 seconds of this song, and we'll
hear
get it.
Once? Mm-hmm. Yeah, heard it all.
The song is As Old As I Am, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
42.
Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life.
And if you can believe it, it kind of repeats over and over again from there. That's the song.
You know what was so funny is I was listening to that like while I was putting on my makeup, and I was like, oh, I'll have to look up the lyrics later. But then I was like, wait, is there even a verse? Wait, is this a, what is it? Is there a chorus? Wait, what is the song?
That's it, baby.
I don't even know anymore.
That's the whole kit. Yep. And
I was like, oh, I bet there's a fun bridge that I forgot about. Nope.
So it's a song written by Rick Found. I'm sure a lot of listeners have heard it before. It's a bit of a standard. Rick Found himself, he was talking about the process of writing it. He said one day he was reading an article about hydraulics and the different states that water can exist in. And that was the direct inspiration for the song. Because he's like, it can be a gas and then it can rain and then it can, like, it was just going through...
So, you know what is crazy is I was reading an issue of Popular Mechanic, mm-hmm. and I thought, we should do a podcast called Good Christian Fun.
And I was reading a magazine called Nice Weekly, and I was like, Ellen, interesting.
He got a big idea.
So, and then he, so that was the primary inspiration of it. He talks, there's an interview you can find on YouTube. He talks about writing it in his very cold office in his home. And he was like, I just wanted to warm my fingers up. And I started reading scripture. And that's the whole gospel in the song right there. wow. He seems like a, I don't know, he seems kind of like a charming man. And when I say
seems... A little bit of a himbo energy is what I'm getting off of this man.
Well, Caroline, I want to shake up your binary and how you might be thinking about him. Because if you're asking the question, does he still make music? The answer is yes. And if you're asking yourself the question, does he have a YouTube channel? The answer is yes. And if you're asking yourself, does he have a YouTube channel in which he has a regular series in which he sings with a parrot? The answer is yes.
Oh my gosh.
This is episode 29 that we're watching. All right. So,
wow.
So that's Rick.
Wow.
You told me exactly what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I couldn't believe what I saw.
He's also written songs like I Love Your Grace, Jesus Mighty God, I Need You, Jesus Draw Me Close, very much part of the Maranatha core. Lord, I Lift Your Name on High is one of the most popular Christian songs, literally, of all time. I think
is it most popular among cockatiels or parakeets?
You know, parakeets do gravitate towards it because it's more of their register.
Macaws hate it.
And it's like bass key. Yes, CCLI reported it's the fifth most popular printed, projected, or recorded song. That was a couple of decades ago that they did that. But yes, I don't believe Oceans has overtaken it since then. But yes, it had heyday of staying on the charts.
Yeah, did you sing this at church, Kevin?
Oh, of course, yes. And I remember singing. I don't remember singing it in an adult context, though. I remember singing it in either a youth group or in a child's, I almost said ceremony, but in a children context. wait, what the hell?
I was going to go Woody impression. Anyway,
yeah. VBS or something like that. That's how I remember.
Yeah, I was thinking of the same thing. I was like, I only can think of myself singing this and loving it as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think primarily because of the hand motions probably, but... And probably because my dumb mind could handle two things, which is what the song is.
Yeah, for the listeners at home, and it is such a shame it's not a video podcast, but we all did the motions, which were out of sync with each other. I feel like most people would know some version of the motions. I remember doing them from memory and from heart with my friend Katie a couple years back when I visited her in New York, and it's in there. It's just one of those things that's in there, made forever. Mm-hmm. For you, Arisha, what was your context for the song?
Every church related thing that wasn't actually a church service, this like ties to it. So like camp, I mm-hmm, used to, mm-hmm. I was in this yes. program. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, Curcio.
I don't think so, no.
It's like, depending on who you ask, it's either a cult or it's just this religious thing, which I don't know. I don't know which one. It falls somewhere
in the
middle.
Is it like a program or is it like a
parachurch? I think it actually originated in the Catholic, like Catholicism. It's like a part of, because I had an ex-boyfriend who like mentioned it and I was like, oh my God, somebody knows what this is. But it's like a 4-day retreat that you go on and there's like witness talks, but there's just a lot of like praise music. So this song was Got the it. One time that I did do it with adults because there were adults at this camp. And then like vacation Bible school, Sunday school, I sang it with the kids a lot, but always kids. And
did you see that movie, Yes, God, Yes?
No.
I think that she might be at that program that you're talking about or something similar to it.
I should look that up.
Movie with Natalia Dwyer that came out last year. Okay. Written and directed by Karen Main, who has listened to the show once, I think. Hi, Karen.
There you go.
Yes, but yes, a children's context. That was my context for it too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it an earworm? Is the reason that we all can remember it so well because of the talent of the composer or through sheer repetition? Like, could have been any, yeah. It could have been the worst song of all time, but we just heard it so many times that we know it. Or is it like, oh, this is actually something where it's sticky,
it's like
in the
a
way
perfect
that needs
song.
Da, da, yeah. da, 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 da. There's a begin, there's an arc, you go on a journey, you go from the cross to the grave. And listen, when I say we know the motions, we just imagine a sea of children reenacting in a kind of dancey, bouncy way a horrific death in the form of a crucifixion from the cross to the grave.
I feel like we actually like did a coffin pose like for the grave, which is so insane if you think about it.
It would be like okay, whoa, and again, and maybe goth. This is hack to say, but people do try to draw these modern day analogs and parallels, but it would be like enacting a lethal injection. And just imagining children like...
Yeah, just being like, doing a syringe motion or something. Oh my God. It's horrifying.
But we did it.
Oh dear.
This song to me, like the lyrics and even just the general message, and I know this because I've done this, feels very much like written the night before a project is due.
Yes.
But you know, sometimes that's the best way. Dolly Parton wrote
of genius.
Jolene and I Will Always Love You in the same night, song. Caroline. Before a project was due, so
but not all of us are a genius like her.
No,
not all of us are smart.
That might be the case.
I was like Caroline, where I like we had the song and I listened to it and I was like, "There's more, right? It's not just these same four lines over and over again." And I was like, "Holy shit, it is just these lines over and over again." And I was certain that there was more, and I had just forgotten it.
Well, and maybe that's a genius composition move too. It leaves you hanging. And it's like, don't worry, we're coming back. Lord, I lift your name. I was like, ooh, I was wanting, and now I want no more.
Yeah. And repetition isn't always wrong. And I think that's part of also why worship songs work, is like it is kind of a chanting situation that can sometimes be meditative and feel like it transports you, or it really forces you to think on the meaning of what you're saying, like a lot more than if you just sang it once.
Yes,
but
definitely.
Unfortunately, I'm digging through meaning here and I'm coming up barehanded. If I was a prospector, you know, I'd head back to the East Coast and I'd sign up for my dad's business. I would say I didn't make it.
I know. I think
get rich.
You point out a salient point, which is that yes, worship music, like you have to consider whatever the song is in the context that was written for, the intention of it. So when you say something is like earwormy or kind of like almost overly catchy or repetitive or simplistic in melody, you have to consider the context of its intended audience and then kind of measure it in that respect. Like he's not who would be the greatest cut? It's not Lana Del Rey trying to, you know, paint a picture of like a...
It's not perfect musician Lana Del Rey.
She's one of our greatest songwriters, I think, truly.
I guess. Wait, just a wild one to pick from the bunch.
Okay, you pick one. You pull one out of your little butt.
It's not a real cop-friendly episode of GCN today.
Oh, Caroline, it might get a little more cop friendly as we go on
to
another segment.
crap, okay? I guess Taylor Swift or something like that. You know,
but
sure, yeah.
Pop princess, absolutely, yes. So, you know, for its intended purpose, maybe it's good for what it's for. But the other measure of how good a song is how well it translates into different musical contexts. Now, we've done this informally on the show before and talked about different covers of a song that we're talking about. But we're now formally going to start a segment called Cover Me. Cover Me. In which we talk about the different covers of whatever the single is that we're talking about on the show.
I love it.
How did they interpret it? What are the merits of that? What are the merits of people's different lenses that they bring to the song? So this obviously being literally one of the most famous, most popular praise and worship songs of the last couple of decades, there are infinite amount of covers available in various different styles. I did just want to pay tribute to one of our fallen heroes of GCF and of the CCM lore. This is a cover by our favorite Italian boss, Carmen.
Vegas's own.
Makeup his own?
Vegas's own songbird.
I thought you said make a calzone.
This is a song you can make a calzone to.
I'm imagining him making it a calzone in his kitchen while he sings.
Came to save us.
You
came from
heaven to earth. You know, and that, especially in the context of Carmen's career, is so funny how straight across the plate.
Like a very classic, because he loves to add some seasoning, I guess.
Let's say he puts a little paprika on the salami, if you know what I'm saying.
He puts a little oregano on there, you know?
Oh! So, you know, there's that by Carmen. There's just manifold covers on Spotify you can find. Oh. There's one by a band
West
called...
West Side Story version.
Well, not quite. Yeah. This one is by a band and artist named Christafari, and it is a reggae version of the song.
I'm feeling that. Ooh, this is great. Ooh.
And it kind of slaps, right?
The rhythm change is so good.
Yeah, that's pretty pleasing to the senses.
I feel like that figured out what this song is, which is for chilling by the pool, you know?
I need a cocktail.
Just, relaxing.
It's
for
the Jimmy Buffett types out there.
Yeah,
it's for Margaritaville.
In Margaritaville, our Pledge of Allegiance is to Lord. That's our national anthem. And then, you know, there was a trend I noticed in some of the more modern praise and worship bands where it started to veer more into the kind of Coldplay YouTube aesthetic we see now in the music, where they would try to get a little jazzy with the chords and the musicality of it. They would add chords that weren't there. This is a cover by Sonic Flood. Hear that chord right there? Was like,
that was interesting.
And then Lincoln Brewster does one. Caroline, we talked about him with our friend Jeremy Olsen last year. Yeah, let's get to that. I'm so glad you came to save us. this is the most disgusting one so far. All right. I mean, that's enough.
That sounds like it belongs in a late 90s rom-com, teen rom-com.
Yeah.
Hilary Duff was the dumb, ugly girl at her school. You think I'm pretty?
You have to pick someone, Dylan. Sorry. I got into that movie. I'm really excited.
I went pretty far into the rabbit hole, gang.
Wow.
Is this instrumental?
Yeah, this is like, if you want to praise God real quick, but you're also on an elevator.
Well, this is karaoke night at Margaritaville where we lift your name.
That's right.
That's where you get to sing right. along.
There's quite a few a cappella covers of this song.
Lord, I lift your name.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Not bad.
I feel like, why does it feel like Kanye would sample that, you know? Like on his next
yeah,
song.
He totally would.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, Jesus is King 2 coming out soon. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lead single.
Well, in this way, it's great. It lends itself to almost every musical style so sure. easily because it's so simple.
And Caroline, I do want to end on this cover from this crop, which I think will be the most salient of all for us.
Oh, no.
And this is kind of a group effort.
It's going to be Rosie O'Donnell.
Lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing
and
your
I believe that's Archibald Asparagus.
Uh-huh. I'm so glad you're
and that's Bob.
Bob.
I'm so glad and Larry does do a rapping verse at some point in the song.
Oh, no.
He came from heaven to earth to show the way.
Ooh.
We lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing.
All right, that's enough of that.
Oh, boy. The whole group singing together, there's something it's uncomfortable. I don't like it.
You came from heaven.
Anytime the VeggieTales sing, it's so funny. Like to just think of them with no hands, but like mentally lifting up their hands to praise Christ.
Yeah, how do you signify that a veggie is penitent?
A worshipful posture.
Has a worshipful energy.
Prayer is easy.
Is in an act of confession as they come before the throne. You know, this is going to be a hard transition, gang, but there's a cover on YouTube. Usually I kind of like peruse and find some low view count covers on YouTube. One of which was, oh gosh, there's a few Puppet. There's a few
Lot of Puppets.
I found one where it's just Puppet and drums.
Can you give us a beat?
Yes.
And Caroline, I think this should be our new theme song.
The puppet is really stealing the show.
This has 10 views.
Oh, Kelly Holder.
Oh, shouts out. Yeah, let's be nice. The comments are turned off, but, you know.
Listen.
Don't give it thumbs down.
Oh, man.
This is a low-viewed video of Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. We're going to go in the exact polar opposite direction now. And go with a very highly viewed video.
Oh my God.
Which is Marine singing Lord I Lift Your Name on High. This has 2,150,000 views. Here we go.
Heavensward to show the way from the earth to the cross. My death to pay from the cross to the grave.
And they're doing all the motions.
Not the hand motions.
From heaven's word to show the way.
Okay, so that's
please tell me those straps don't have guns on the back.
That's our troops.
Oh my God.
Those are the boys defending our land.
And in a way, I don't know, with all the Christian nationalism that we all grew up with to some degree or another, it's hard not to look at all those gentlemen in green and see your own face sometimes as you were a soldier in the Lord's army. Now that video is very popular on YouTube. It has literally millions of views, but here's what I found in my research. And this is actually interesting.
Oh, wow. Kevin went to the Library of Congress for this one. Here we go.
I did, you know, I got a national treasure on this one. there was in fact a version of this song commissioned for the U.S. Army.
Wait.
A military-themed song. And I actually found a demo of it.
Okay.
And it's actually, they changed the title. It's not Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. It's something called War, I Lift Your Name on High.
Kevin.
Which kind of confused me when I saw it, but... Maybe we can listen to it and see how we feel about it. Here we go.
For I lift your name on high. Oh,
kill civilians.
Oh my god.
I'm so glad to end a life. I'm so glad to murder children.
Oh my god.
We drop our missiles in the sky from fighter planes. We're the greatest nation, yeah. The USA. Put some people in their graves. For our freedom they must die. Or I lift your name on high.
So, to me, when I heard that, I thought it was in poor taste. I thought, you know what? There's too much. For too long, we've like put together American values and values of the church and Christianity, and it felt wrong to me. For the army to use Christian music in that way, it felt not good.
I mean, you could be upset about that. The other thing I'm upset about is, you know, taxpayer dollars went to that. You said that was commissioned for the army.
Yeah.
And
It was. And it was produced by Rick Rubin.
There was a defense contract for that song.
It took forever. Forever.
It actually cost $1 trillion. I believe you can't put a price on safety.
Oh, and here's the thing. I don't know if you know this, but six voices singing in unison is actually pretty hard to track in the old Pro Tools session. So it took a long time. There were a lot of late nights.
A lot of producers on that.
A lot of not my tempo.
That's crazy. But who knew how influential this song would really be around the world?
Yeah, you know, I guess it's a testament to its power, fortunate or unfortunate.
You could say this song has put a military base on nearly every country in the globe.
Wow.
And that's fair.
Unreal stuff. Oh man.
It's accurate.
Wow. Well, Kevin, way to deep dive on that. I'm proud of you. I didn't find that on my research.
I mean, it took a lot of research that I finished right before we got on to record, like minutes before. It's just me.
Not
and my
unlike Dolly Parton herself. on a deadline. But not unlike, who's the writer of this song?
Oh,
Rick like Found.
Rick
just
Found.
Right under the wire.
Yeah, but we did it, Joe.
He's based in Fallbrook, California.
Yeah.
Which is like only maybe 15 minutes from where I grew up.
Oh.
Not a lot of people are from Fallbrook.
It's you got to talk to him about, where's your dumpy little desert you grew up in?
Oceanside. Hey, you know what? Shut up.
Was it Simi Valley? What is it?
It's coming strong from the man from Texas, Kevin.
Texas is great in parts.
Dumpy little desert.
Well, Texas is not a desert, mostly. I'm actually not sure about that. Where I grew up.
That's Riverside County, though.
Riverside County.
That's where nothing happens.
Oh, gracious. Yeah. Man, I hope the U.S. military doesn't commission even more Christian songs and change them to be about the horrors of war.
I really hope they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that'd be unfortunate.
It'd be sad if, like, there was a whole album of such songs that lasted, like, 30 seconds.
I personally think that the U.S. government shouldn't spend a lot of time on that.
But what if the U.S. government has so many good ideas of things that would like fit in the cadence of military
language?
The
U.S. government needs to maybe not tuck such radioactive material.
We here at GCF support the troops no matter what they do. All right. Anything else we want to say about this song before we rate it, before we rate the song and give it a rest?
I have a question.
Yes, please.
So, for all those songs you found, like the ones where people were doing covers, how long were those covers? Were they just covering the same? Because I'm like, that's got to be the easiest song to do a cover of.
Well, you know, I mean, they're basically around the same length. They range from 3 to 5 minutes.
Oh,
well,
so
the Sonic Flood one's 6.5 minutes. But yeah, and sometimes, oftentimes, like gospel musicians go a little long on it because they can.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a whole deal with that genre. But yeah, nothing to.
Okay.
They don't give it the short shift.
So it's not a 1 minute song.
No. No, like a jingle, even though it technically is.
Jingle.
Kevin, it's short shit.
Okay, they don't give it the short shift. Short shit. I said it wrong.
No, you got to close.
All right, let's rate this thing. So the way this works, Orisha, is that we give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And a thumbs up is a holy toast, and holy toast means we send it to heaven, and we say to this song, yeah, 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 yeah. Holy roast is a thumbs down. That's when we send it to the other place. And we say,
no, 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 no.
And we'll start, as per usual, with Caroline.
It's truly hard to, like, figure out what I feel or think about this song. In some ways, it is a beautiful song, I guess. And in some ways, it haunts me, you know?
Mm.
So I think this is a perfect nominee for me as a space betweener. I really don't know. And until
so that wasn't an option given in the rating part. So for the singles ministry, we do try to keep it to a binary of, like, heaven or hell. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the law of the land. I must acquiesce. I don't want to be a criminal, so I'm going to say a holy roast, I think.
A roast, okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, farewell to this song. Arisha, how do you vote?
You know, I thought about it, and I'm just going to go with how it makes me feel like when I remembered the song, ignoring how easy of a song it is, and I'm gonna send it up to heaven.
Wow.
Oh man. Yeah. So for you, you can go back to those times and remember the positive qualities about it, the things that are not associated with negative things, and be able to evaluate it for what it was.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Not usually the case on this show.
Right here.
I know. I'm a bit of a, who's a famous tiebreaker? I'm a bit of a Florida right now, I suppose.
George Bush.
Oh, man.
Because I see it. I see the merits and the detriments of it. I do consider the source, but I also do consider the intended purpose. And for the intended purpose of this song, I don't think you can do better than what it's trying to do. You're trying to get a positive message across. There's concise storytelling. It's the whole thing. Yep. Heaven to earth, earth to the cross, cross to the grave, grave to the sky. You go through it all, and there's an economy of language. It's Flannery O'Connor-esque.
Economy of language.
And how Founds uses
poetry.
His storytelling acumen.
Dr. Seuss also has an economy of language in a way.
Dr. Seuss has a lot of things, okay?
Spread his language around.
So, man, I'm going to align with our guest, Arisha, and send it all the way to freaking heaven. That's where it's going.
Heaven-bound.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Right. You really, you strong on me, Arisha. Like, for listeners at home, like, I know she sounds fun and friendly and gentle, but she was giving me some daggers over the Zoom call. I knew I had to vote a certain way, and I wasn't.
She held up a piece of notebook paper, and it just had Kevin's address on it. Yeah. Just like, how did she even find
and
it?
And a very detailed illustration of Dexter injured.
Who is so cute, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm proud of my boy. You say he's so cute, and I say thank you, as if I had anything to do with
it. I know.
You're welcome.
I mean, I keep him clean. I keep him clean. He's a clean
boy. Kevin's trying his best.
I'm doing my best. You know what? You can go to @ChristianFunPod yourself and give the song a roast or a toast. So get out there and...
Pokemon, go to the polls.
We did it, Joe.
Oh, Kamala. Come on, good Christian Fun. I want to know about Kamala's upbringing with religion and whatnot.
Me too.
That'd be fun.
Get her on here.
Talk to her about... You know, I mean, I don't think she knows the Lord I Lift Your Name on High Dance, but according to a lot of other videos on YouTube, she knows a lot of dances, and she dances a lot.
She's got to add to her repertoire.
Do you think she feels pressure to dance more, given that the president probably can't dance as much? You know what I mean? Where it's like, she's dancing for two, in a way.
She's dancing for two.
In terms of, like, physical activity.
I get the same, I get a very Ellen dancing vibe from her, too.
Uh-oh.
Just like dancing, but without joy.
Oh, no.
Oh.
A requisite dance, yes. Oh, boy. Well, Arisha, you can hear that music right now. We're dimming the lights here. We're lighting the candles. We're taking this to a more worshipful space. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're
it's
not
a Maundy Thursday, if you will.
Yeah,
every... I would say Maundy Thursday.
Maundy Thursday. Every day of Maundy Thursday, as Joel Osteen once said. he wrote a book called Every Day of Friday, which is still my favorite book title ever.
Every day of Friday.
Yeah. So he kind of was
really embodied TGIF.
Yeah, he's a big proponent of TGIF culture.
Emphasis on the G.
And we're not here to promote ourselves or to plug our projects. We're here to lift them up to the Lord as a humble and loving sacrifice by saying what they are and say our social media handles and where people can follow us. So we start, as per usual, with Caroline.
Every day is a Friday when you go visit at Caroline's Farts on Twitter, Instagram, or sometimes TikTok even. So check that out. And my lift up, you've heard me lift it up before. I'm going to lift it up again. It's the podcast, Even the Rich. I love it so much. I never miss an episode. I think actually some of my favorite are your interviews, and I want to talk to you about Lainey Gossip later.
Ooh.
But just a wonderful show. It really was a balm through some hard days in this past year, and it's just so fun.
Nice.
And I'm better educated for it. So what else do you need?
Yeah. Man, heck of a plug. Heck of a lift up. Thank you.
What if I did all that and then we never invited Brooke on the podcast?
We love it. They're both equally great.
I love
invitation.
Half of the show.
Not extended.
Rescinded.
All right, we turn it
to... No, we're definitely going to have Brooke on.
Arisha. Yes, we'd love to. Yes.
Yeah, she'll love it.
Arisha, what do you have to lift up in terms of your social media handles?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Arisha Skid Dubs. And that's it, social media wise.
Okay.
Nice.
And then lifting up, right? Is this what I'm doing
now? Lifting up. You got to lift it up.
That's right.
I'm going to lift up Even the Rich, which new episodes drop Tuesdays. And also In God We Lust, which also drop Tuesdays.
And In God We Bust, which for me drops every day.
Hell yeah.
What's the last great thing that you listened to or that you watched yourself that you consumed and thought was so excellent?
Oh my gosh. This is such a hard question.
The Oscars.
It's like a movie.
Can I say a text message from a friend?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that a ridiculous
thing? Oh my God,
thing?
Of course.
Yeah, my friend just texted me... just something really nice, and it was just out of the blue, and it was, I don't know, I love getting messages from friends that are unexpected.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, text your friend out of the blue out there.
Are you speaking to a listener, or are you talking to me?
Yeah, I was trying to have a little Fred Rogers moment.
Yeah, you know how Fred Rogers would
attacking my friend.
He famously would turn to the camera and say, "Hey, you, text a friend, I guess."
Yeah,
you
that.
The viewer. Uh-huh.
Just, you know, random acts of kindness, but demand. Just hit you with it.
And starting a special with, hey. I can't imagine Mr. Rogers starting a sentence with, hey.
Hey.
Or like, look. Like, look. It's been
Listen
a hard
up,
year.
Kid.
Yeah.
Hey, are we doing a show or are we not?
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. You know what? Oftentimes people need music for background purposes. They're writing something, they're working on schoolwork, they're doing emails, or even just walking around or reading something. I'm going to suggest for background music for you folks out there, the score to Minari, an Emil Hirsch. It's Emil Mosseri, not Emil Hirsch. And it's one of my favorite scores I've heard in the last couple of years. Very beautiful, very elegant, and will help you tune in to what you're doing. It's emotional enough that you'll feel like it's important what you're doing, but not so busy that it'll distract you from the task at hand. So I highly recommend and lift that up. I thought you were going to say something,
That's
Caroline.
Amazing.
It looked like you had one locked and loaded in the chamber. Another Fred Rogers
no.
interruption.
You saw my head. There is nothing locked, nothing loaded.
You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. And you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We donate $1 to charity for every review you leave. And this month's charity, once again, is Red Canary Song. Arisha, thank you so much for joining us on the show, friend.
Thanks, Arisha. Thanks for your time.
What
thank
a fun
you for having
hang. Me. Oh, very and there's nothing left to say except true. For, and all of Pod's people said, amen. 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 A blessing to us all. Friends, what cover, what version of Lord, I Lift Your Name on High should we go out on? There was a Caribbean version I didn't play. Should I play that as we close the episode?
Yeah, that yeah. sounds perfect.
Okay, like let's that. Go to the Caribbean.
Caribbean gospel music.
This is fresh.
That view that is in the world. My God is so good. And I gotta tell it to all of you all.
At this point, the song is unrecognizable.
I know.
Yeah.
What's coming?
There it is.
Caroline just did a kombucha meme on the Zoom call.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sip, sip,
sip.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.